As an ice cream lover, vanilla is one of those flavors that's just always going to hit the spot. It's comforting and nostalgic, and it goes well with whatever mood I'm in. But sometimes vanilla can be a little boring, if you catch my drift. Sometimes I'm in the mood for chocolate or cookie dough or maybe something wacky, like pistachio if I'm feeling frisky. Whether it's a midnight snack or an afternoon delight, my friends at adamandeve.com can get you the right flavor for whatever mood you're in. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. But that's not all. When you select your one free item, you'll also get a free kit that includes an item for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, it's Cassie, and have y'all seen those cute pins floating around the internet that look like a charging status so you can tell people where you're at with your social battery and whether or not you need to be left alone? Right now, mine would be hovering just above red. I've been so busy that I'm just drained and I need to recharge, which means hibernating without seeing anybody. And you know what made me realize that was okay to do? Therapy. I thought I was being lazy, but in reality, I was giving my body and mind some much-needed R&R, and that wasn't a bad thing. In fact, it was a good thing. Therapy changed my perspective, and that's why I'm a big advocate for therapy, like the kind you can get with BetterHelp. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced severe trauma. It's to give you the tools to deal with everyday issues that are bugging you, big or small. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BurtShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BurtShow.
You want your Burt Show in one full show every day, uninterrupted, and dang it, you don't want ads. No problem. Become a bonus Burt Show subscriber. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
Is there a better way to start the show than with stupid? So let's do that. Kristen's stupid bit of the week.
This one on me and our loyal Burt Show listeners.
Okay, bring the stupid.
I posted this or shared it to my Insta story, and I was like, I really think the Burt Show should do this. And I got my DMs flooded like, yes, 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 you have to do it. So this is a viral trend that I have seen popping up a lot in my Instagram algorithm. And what it is a couple, typically a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend, the new date night is sitting down and painting each other's likeness.
Painting their what?
Their likeness.
Okay.
So you sit down with the canvas and you sit across from each other. You get your palette, your paint, your brushes, and you sit there and you have like a couple glasses of wine or whatever, and you paint each other's face. And then at the end, you turn it around and you unveil it to each other.
Ooh, this could be so insulting.
Oh, is it?
I don't see this going well.
Is it?
Yeah.
So 9 times out of 10, the wife or girlfriend does pretty good. But the boyfriend or the husband. So I pulled, these are some of the reactions. So when you hear this, that there's two different reactions in here, and one of the kids gets involved in the second one, and it's very funny because that's how bad he did. But in the first one, she's sitting there and she holds the picture because they don't see it till the very, very end, and she's holding the picture next to her, and then she turns around and looks at it and just absolutely loses it.
You ready for mine?
No.
You got it.
Take it.
I'm not going to look at it yet. I'm a little scared.
Don't break up, Mom. Don't get a divorce.
Don't leave him.
Don't break up.
It was so bad. So, you all have bags next to you.
Yep.
I went out, ran some errands. So, when you open your little artistic goodie bag, you're going to find an 11 by 14 canvas.
Oh, no.
You're going to find like a little mini easel to put your canvas on.
Oh, my God.
So you can paint.
Yep.
You are going to find a plethora of paints to use.
Okay.
You're going to find your brushes and you're going to find your paint palette. So...
I think it doesn't stand.
I can't even figure out how to get the stand to work.
put something behind it that's heavy, and it'll work.
Oh, well, if I don't have the proper...
The proper tools?
Tools, yeah, then I can't. Yeah.
It's not easeling.
Man, I didn't think I'd need to test these, but think, the easel's the stuff, the canvas is too heavy.
Here we go.
Here we go.
No, it's not. It's about the angle.
So Kristen asked me day before yesterday, what's that thing painters use... that they have their paint on, that they dip their paint brushes in. I'm like, a palette? And she goes, yeah. And I'm thinking, why is she asking me this? Now I know.
Now you know. All right, so.
Leading into this, does anybody have any artsy painting skills whatsoever?
I struggle with stick figures, so this should be interesting.
Absolutely zero.
Oh, my God. I missed an opportunity, Kristen. I should have went and got Bert a Bob Ross wig. they sell the costumes.
When Eliza used to be in the house and we used to all paint together, right, mm-hmm. we would line up our paintings afterwards, and she was 8 at the time, and her paintings blew mine. I can't paint. I mean, it's ridiculously bad.
That's the whole premise of this. So what it's going to be easiest is we're going to draw the person that sits across from us. So, like, Abby sits across from me, and I sit across from her, so we're going to draw each other. Mo and Bert, you guys are going to draw each other.
This could get real racial real quick.
What shades are in here?
You need to learn how to blend your paints. So, throughout the entire show, you have the entire show.
I don't need that much time to
paint the person across from you. And then at the very last break of the show... we will turn these bad boys around, and we will get everyone's reaction.
So we have 4 hours now.
Okay. Yes.
I'm just looking here. I mean, it took Da Vinci, some say 4 years, anywhere between 4 and 12 years to paint the Mona Lisa. And you're asking us to create this classic piece of art, classic piece of something within the next 4 hours. It's unfair.
It is unfair, but it is what it is because it's my stupid bit of the week. So try to shield your painting from everybody.
All right.
And that way nobody can see. And then we will have a grand unveiling at the end of the show.
Mo, I want to apologize in advance. I swear to you, bro.
That apology is right back at you, buddy.
All right. So we got 4 hours.
Yes.
And then at the last break of the day, we will expose exactly what we have painted.
We will showcase our masterpieces.
I'm ready.
The Bert Show.
The Entertainment Buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Women are getting punched in the face in New York City, and nobody knows why. I logged on to my TikTok the other day, and I swear I saw like 15 videos of all different women around my age, about 26, 27, 28, all saying the same thing. I was walking around the streets of New York, looking at my phone. All of a sudden, some guy clocks me, knocks me in the face.
You guys, I was literally just walking, and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground, and now this giant goose egg is forming, and I'm like, oh my God, it's so crazy.
So that's an influencer named Hallie Kate, who's really big on TikTok, and she's walking down the street, and you can see like a big contusion forming on her forehead. It's bruised. She's crying, obviously, because it's incredibly traumatic, and everybody in the comments is freaking out, like, go to the hospital. You probably have a concussion. And so then after that, all these other videos of other women started popping up on our For You page. And now we're all like, what is going on in New York? But a couple days later, Hallie said, you know, I don't necessarily think it's all happening at the same time. I think people started searching for my video, and then people's videos from the last couple of months started popping up.
It started pumping out a bunch of old videos from girls also saying that they got punched in the face. Also, side note, my head is looking a lot better. Ow. I'm just going to contour over where I got hit. Dibs contour stick. Can't even tell. It's a little swollen. All good. Anyway, I think because people started searching girl getting punched in the face, all of the old videos that girls had made from months, weeks, years ago about getting punched in the face started getting on everyone's For You page because it was just a trending topic. And from listening to a lot of those girls' videos, it didn't really sound like it was the same person. I think it just might be a somewhat common thing that happens in big cities, but I don't want it to seem like 13 girls got punched in the face yesterday, and oh my God, if you come to New York City, you're for sure gonna get punched in the face. Well, it's obviously really upsetting and disgusting that women have to deal with like this. I personally am not gonna revolve my life around that one incident.
Now, Mo, you're from New York, so let me ask you this question. Are there some boroughs where this is just the way they say hello in New York? Instead of shaking hands, they just punch in the face?
Some would say that in Brooklyn that is a sign of endearment. But no, I don't know of anybody going this far with New Yorkers known to be aggression. This is new to me. I didn't know this was a thing.
Well, apparently it's becoming a thing because then people started popping up and saying, you know, now that it's becoming a quote unquote trend where people are talking about it, they're like, you've got to really be on your guard if you're out walking around in a big city because whoever's starting to do it might catch on with like other groups of people or it might start catching on in other cities. So girls, if you're out and about, and even guys I saw were getting punched in the face too from videos that popped up.
Is it only happening to women?
I saw one guy talk about getting punched in the face, but he said it happened a couple weeks ago. But the videos that I had saw that actually had been posted recently were all women in their late 20s.
Yeah, this was happening a while ago also, and it was happening to guys. And it wasn't just New York City. It was also older people were getting punched just as strangers were walking down the street. You guys don't remember this couple years ago? Yeah, same things was going on.
I think there was, if I remember correctly, there was a homeless dude that was dealing with some mental health issues that was like punching somebody.
So, all these guys are going to get caught, especially now that there's this heightened awareness to it. You can't be on the streets of New York City without a camera being on you somehow, some way, right? Either a security camera is operating, looking out from an apartment complex or a bodega. They're going to get caught. But just the fact that you can't even walk down the street anymore and feel safe because you don't know if someone's going to punch you in the face is a really, it's a sad state.
And it's really scary that it's catching on the internet because I remember when I was in college back in 2016, something kind of similar was happening on college campuses. I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was like an epidemic of like clowns running around on campus. And I remember there was like a semester where we all had to have like our head on a swivel of being like, is there going to be like a freaky clown coming at me with a knife at night? So I really hope that this is the kind of thing that just blows over and doesn't catch on with the crazies of New York or any other major city. All right, Will Smith is closing his charity after his Oscars slapped completely tanked donations. So their charitable foundation is set to close because their tax records are revealing that after the big Oscar slap happened, big organizations like American Airlines and CAA all pulled their funding. So they haven't commented on this, but they are going to focus on private charitable giving. But it looks like they're going to have to shut it down all because of that one thing that he did with Chris Rock at the 2022 Oscars.
That's probably got to be the thing that's going to hurt him the most is that action is going to impact people who could have benefited from his charity.
Yeah, I would think that he and Jada have enough money to cover that $2 million, to be honest with you, at least in the short term. But these are the ramifications, you know? Like, if I do something really stupid, you know, outside of the Bert Show, I'm tied into Bert's Big Adventure, so it would make sense that sponsors would pull from me, right? It's the same thing with Will Smith.
Yeah, it's a huge responsibility.
It's all good.
So Sean Diddy Combs' team is responding to the raids of his home. I'll read you the statement they put out on your next eBuzz on The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Young Bucks, be careful, man, when you guys are out drinking in bars and in clubs. All eyes are on you all the time, and there will be repercussions for your actions, both negative and positive. Remember a couple of weeks ago, there was this instance in Vegas where a dude was in Vegas. He's hanging out with a bunch of women. And one of the girls goes on to TikTok and says, hey, if your name is blank and your fiance is blank, I just want to let you know he's about to cheat on you in Vegas. You guys remember this from a couple of weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Goes viral. She finds out about it, right? Here it is in Charleston, and it sort of happens again. Dude is out on his bachelor party, right? He's hanging out with a whole bunch of women when one of the women breaks off afterwards and wants to find his fiance.
If your name is Sam and your fiance's name is Luke and he is currently in Charleston, South Carolina for his bachelor party and he was at a bar on King Street called Uptown Social tonight, I just want you to know that that man loves you so much and he could not stop gushing about you and how you are the love of his life and the most beautiful person he has ever met and how he's the luckiest man in the entire world. And I wish you too all the happiness in the world. Also, he has to take a selfie with my group, and so here is me and all my friends and Luke. That man loves you, and I love that for you.
That's so sweet.
Aww. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
Right? It's always so negative, right?
Yeah.
So the video actually gets back to the fiance.
If you saw that TikTok, I'm Sam. Luke's on his bachelor party right now. And that was literally the best thing to wake up to. I haven't stopped smiling since my friend sent it to me. He's the best. I'm very lucky. I love love. And this is literally the cutest thing to ever happen to me. So I can't wait for him to come home, though, right?
Okay.
Wow. He can't wait to get home either.
Yeah.
How much do I think Luke charged her to do that?
I know, right?
At least 250.
Will you do me a favor? Right. All right, our intern Haley has herself a theory, and I'm here for it, man. Short Kings finally getting their props.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm like, the longer I've been here now, that I've been here like a couple months, I'm like, I'm starting to know my audience, I think. I was like, I sent this in, and I said, I know they're going to pick this one. But no, I fully believe that short guys, if you are have the height and you're able to date a short guy, I think they're better.
What do you mean if you're able to?
Like
what would make one not able to?
Well, I matched with one over the weekend, and he's already ghosted me, so I haven't been able to go out with him.
Listen, I don't speak for every short guy, okay? But listen, tall guys are great and everything, but I think for tall women, like my stepdad is 6'6", but that's okay because my mom is 5'10". You know what I mean? I'm only 5'6", so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to kind of lower the threshold that I think I need to date. My boyfriend right now, we're the exact same size.
Oh, yeah. And he's a hockey player.
Yeah. He's a tiny one.
Oh, he's going to love hearing that.
Tiny little hockey player.
There was a post I made on Instagram. It said, like, it's, you know, the wind is picking up again, so guys under 5'6", like, hold on. I tagged him in it. He thinks it's funny, but I have a list of reasons that I think short guys are better than tall guys.
Now, if you're new to the show, also know this. I am 5'4", so I am fighting for short king rights all the time.
Yes. Short king rights. Yes. No, my first reason is that they are more confident because they have to compensate for their height.
I agree with that.
I think one of the traits or characteristics of somebody that can make them very confident is their height. And if it's just kind of handed to you and you just grow up to be super tall, I feel like you don't work as hard to to, you know, get women or, you know, whatever.
I will absolutely add credibility to this, that I do think that short guys have to develop our personalities better than tall guys. We don't have a chance when we walk into a bar or a club. We know you're not looking for us.
Right.
So we got to develop in other areas. And we just try harder.
Yeah. They also they're always going to think you're out of their league too. And this isn't for every short guy, but like mine specifically, he sometimes in the beginning of our relationship, he would say well, don't you want someone taller? And it would make him work harder at the relationship. And for the first time, I felt he thinks I'm out of his league. It was a great feeling.
So a short king will treat you like a queen.
Yeah, because they're like, man, she's going to leave me for a guy who's 6'4". I gotta step it up, literally.
There is that insecurity. There sure is.
The third reason, it's easier to match height during intimacy. So when I kiss him, I don't have to hurt my neck. I don't have to stand on my tippy toes. And it's great because my aunt is 5'2", and her husband is 6'4".
Dang.
Oh, and she says sometimes she feels like a child when she hugs him or kisses him or whatever. She feels like she's a child. And to other people, it looks weird sometimes. And I'm like, you know, if you're 5'10 and 6'4", that's one thing. You got to get a guy over 6 foot if you're 5'10". But if you're 5'2", it's like, why not 5'4 to 5'8"? You know what I mean? It's just, it makes more sense physically.
Our pool right there. This is what I've been saying now for 20 years, is you are taking out of a very shallow, short pool. If you are a woman that is 5'2", and you end up with a guy that's 6'5", it's infuriating.
You need some balance. I get it.
Yeah, because then you have women like my mom who are like, man, I can't find a single dance partner that's over 6 feet tall. And she saw my stepdad and was like, ooh, you're tall. I can dance with you now. My fourth reason is I don't ever feel like I have to wear heels sometimes because I think if you're a short woman dating a tall guy, you're like, man, I have to wear heels so I don't look like I'm his daughter when we go out places. I get to wear complete flats on my wedding day, and I'm so excited. I know I could either way, but I'm so excited about that.
Because they're more comfortable?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't have to walk around in 4-inch heels so I can reach him when I kiss him.
That's funny because I feel like most girls have the opposite. They're like, I want to date a tall guy so that I can wear heels. I don't want to throw out all my good Louboutins.
Right. No, the short guys are also more likely to stay married longer than tall guys in a study done by NYU.
Because we're scared to leave that relationship because there's nobody
insecurity
else.
Again.
Yeah.
Nobody else out there is going to love us at this height.
Yeah. They can also sit in the back seat of a car better, which I get car sick, so I always need the front seat. I could just throw him in the back and he's good.
And we fit right in the baby seat.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's five or six reasons right there. I like that.
They're all good, too.
The Burt Show.
We are down to the Fugly Four in the Burt Show's Busted Baby Bracket.
Battle of the Coneheads!
Yeah, they're in different brackets, though, aren't they?
So
they could meet each other in the championship. Look, we've been doing this for years, but we've been doing it with aesthetically pleasing babies, okay? Mm-hmm. These babies... It just was a rough start.
Yeah.
I mean, baby number one, cone head number one. It's got a little indentation going on. It almost looks like in his forehead is a profile of the rest of his face. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But also, didn't baby number six's mom send you an updated picture because he's a toddler now and he is adorable?
Here is my wish, at least with these final four, is that the parents will take a look at that their kids are in the final four, and then they will send us pictures of what they look like now so we can at least honor these four. I don't know that we could do it with the 32 that we started off with.
Yeah.
So you got baby six, who is taking on baby 13. I think it was a couple of days ago I said, this is a newborn that looks like a shop teacher. he's got the receding hairline. You know how, like, older dudes, like, they're not really sure if it's time to go completely bald or not?
And it's time. They just don't want to accept it.
Yeah, he was born looking like his name is Craig, and he's 42.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's a girl.
Okay, or a girl. Okay. Either way.
My point has been made. That's an old school picture, too. So I think
definitely.
That I believe that baby is now a full-blown adult.
I'm guessing with the ears on that baby also, it was a tough push. also now in the second matchup is another conehead.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that one is, you can tell the nurse is holding the baby up. So that is a fresh out of the hoo-ha baby. As is baby number 29.
Yeah, they both fresh.
Which is my baby.
Okay.
And that's my sweet little melted gummy bear.
Baby six was my baby, so I'm still in this thing, too.
All right, so there are only four babies left, and there's $1,000 on the line for the most aesthetically challenged baby. So if you can go online today and vote, it is down to the Fugly Four at theburtshow.com. All right, I've got a question for you guys that have lost a lot of weight. What advice would you give to somebody that's just about to take that journey? So I'm literally walking down the hall to get a cup of coffee, and one of the dudes in the office comes up to me, and I think because most people in the office know that I work out a lot and fitness is part of who I am, he came up to me, and as we were walking past each other, he said, hey, I just want to let you know, I thought you'd be into this. I just hired a trainer. And I'm working out three times a week. And I said, congratulations, man, baby steps, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so this is the one thing that most people don't ask, I think, or trainers don't ask immediately is like, what is your goal of going to the gym? His goal is to lose 100 pounds.
Wow.
That's a lot of weight.
That's a person.
That's a lot of weight, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious for you guys that have lost a lot of weight, over 60 pounds, over 70 pounds, over 100 pounds. If you were giving advice to somebody that is looking to look to lose 100 pounds, what would you say initially? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW? Because I think when you look at that number, it can get so intimidating if you're the person that's trying to lose that weight that you don't look at it as 1 pound at a time. You're looking at it as 100 pounds, and that could be really intimidating right off the bat.
Going ahead and jumping to the very end of a 100-pound weight loss, if I remember correctly, we had a Burt Show listener call up that had a significant weight loss, and it took a while for her brain to catch up with her body because there was still like some, I wouldn't call it body dysmorphia, but when she looked in the mirror, it was almost like she had a hard time accepting her new body because it was such a drastic change because you're so used to seeing yourself in a certain light.
I also think that, and some calls are starting to come in now, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW, if you've been through this process, that you know, we live in this world where you want everything so fast, right? You could take drugs if you want, or you see celebrities that have a baby and the next day they're back down to their pre-baby weight.
It's why I go to a Mexican restaurant, because I want food fast and you get chips and salsa.
Is that it?
Yes.
And I think that if you're starting a journey like that, you just have to remember how long a process that should take if you're doing it in a healthy way. They say that half a pound to 1 pound a week is a lot. So if you're busting your ass in the gym and you lose 4 pounds at the end of the month, give yourself credit. Like, don't look at it like, oh, I only lost 4 pounds. That's a lot.
So it should take you approximately 2 years to lose 100 pounds.
That's a lot.
I have a friend who lost, I think she lost 70 pounds when it was all said and done. And I remember her saying that that was the hardest part, was constantly looking at trying to lose the 70. Because she always felt like she wasn't doing anything when she would lose 2 pounds, when she would lose 1 pound. But when she started looking at it like, the time is going to pass anyway. So if you lose even a pound a week or a pound every 2 weeks or whatever the case, and you keep looking at it like that, eventually you'll get to your goal before you even know it.
Fernando, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hello, man. I just got done leaving the gym this morning before I head off for work, and I was pushing 300 pounds last year, and I'm 217 now. Wow. And it's all about consistency, finding a schedule. And I got into fasting 72 hours every 30 days for the health reasons. And I also got into running a lot. So I just completed my first marathon last Sunday.
Congrats. Wow.
That was awesome.
And yeah, and the one thing people don't understand is that when you put a big number like that in front of you, it's very discouraging.
Right.
It really is. So what I did is I just set small goals. I really did. And after a year of working out, running, I'm now 217. I feel more fit and it's healthier. And, you know, with consistency, anyone can do it.
Congratulations, man. That takes a lot of discipline. And that must have been on your mind all the time. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. How about losing 150 pounds, man?
Wow.
Hey, Cassie. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am feeling great.
So how much weight have you lost? And I'm guessing your name is Case.
Yeah, it's Casey.
How much weight did you lose?
150 pounds.
150 wow. pounds.
All right. I'm curious, how did you do it and how long did it take you?
Well, my wife and I started last February 20th. At that time, I weighed in at 326 pounds and this past February 20th, I weigh in at 176.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Was there one, like, breaking point moment for you? Like, okay, today is the day. That can't happen again.
Yes, actually. I saw a picture of myself on Facebook.
The picture. The pictures, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, what have I done to myself?
Yeah.
So,
that'll do it.
Started going to the gym. I started out cardio. Then I moved to transition to weights and worked with a trainer. And it's part of my life. If I don't go to the gym every day now, I don't feel right.
So what's the one piece of advice you would give this dude that is now looking at 100 pounds?
Absolutely. Just take one day at a time. Eat healthy. It's okay to have cheat days. Cheat day once a week. Watch your sodium intake and drink lots of water.
Would you say that the scale is your best or worst friend when you're trying to lose that kind of weight?
Actually, to me, it's my best friend because I can see my progress like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say throw the scale out the window, because if you're starting to feel good and like your clothes aren't fitting the way they used to, that's all you need to know. Because if you go and you're busting your ass in the gym and then you jump on the scale and maybe because you've been working out, you put on some muscle, that the scale is lying to you. So some people say, don't look at it at all. If you feel good and you're starting to see that your clothes don't fit the same, then that's good enough.
It's probably discouraging to look down there and not see as much as you thought you would see.
Yeah.
When you do the math on it, man, have you ever been on a treadmill and you're busting your ass and you realize, like, you've only burned 170
yes.
calories and you're like, that's half a burger. That's
it's deflating.
It's a quarter of a burger.
No, those are the two Girl Scout cookies I ate. What are
yes.
you talking about?
Melissa, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. How are y'all?
Good. Thank you. All right. So our friend down the hall here is losing 100 pounds. It is a long journey. What advice can you give to him? Because you lost how much weight?
I've lost about 170
wow.
pounds.
Good for you.
Wow. Yeah. So I've lost like an entire person. So I'm, my biggest advice would be a lot, kind of the same thing the other guy said. It's just take it one day at a time. I had to do it for health reasons, but, or I wanted to do it for health reasons. And, that just take it the one day at a time. And I think Kristen was saying something about body dysmorphia. That's a very real thing that I deal with, because every time I look in the mirror, I have to be like, oh, I'll walk by the mirror sometimes and do like a second look, because I'm like, whoa, is that me now?
Right. Wow, that's good advice. Just take
it
one step at a time here, because it's a long, long process. Hey, it is Bert. We really appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. You want to make this a pretty even deal? If you like what you hear, we'd love for you guys to review our podcast. Give us 5 stars. Thanks a lot for listening, you guys.
The Bert Show.
How about that craziness in Baltimore, man?
That is terrifying to watch.
What?
It's nightmare insane. Fuel.
So I'm sure you guys have heard about this. This huge cargo ship, loses power and ends up ramming right into a bridge in Baltimore. There were 8 construction workers. Luckily, it was like 1:30 in the morning.
And also, they were able to make a distress call. So thankfully, the ship communicated. So authorities were able to make sure that the bridge was clear of cars. Otherwise, that just could have been an even worse tragedy than it already is.
So that bridge alone during rush hour takes about 30,000 cars a day. So the fact that this happened at like 1:30 in the morning, where there was pretty much only construction workers up there. There were 8. 6 they can't find. 2 they have found. And like Kristen was saying, there was a mayday call, and then the cops starting to scramble on, like, what do we do here? They only have about a minute and a half before that ship collides into the bridge, and here's some audio of the cops trying to coordinate, get everybody off the bridge.
I need one of you guys on the south side, one of you guys on the north side, hold all traffic on the Key Bridge. There's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until you get that under control, we got to stop all traffic. I'm going to route to the south side. Yeah, if we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. There's a crew out there. You might want to notify whoever the foreman is, see if we can get them off the bridge temporarily.
10-4, once the other unit gets here, I'll ride up on the bridge.
C-13 dispatch, the whole bridge just fell down. Everybody, the whole bridge just collapsed.
Do we know if all traffic will stop?
I can't get to the other side, sir. The bridge is down.
C-13, I'm holding all traffic northbound.
I'm always so amazed on how calm people in those positions stay, because I'd be a mess.
Well, yeah, you have to.
Yeah, right.
Train for that.
It would just be worse if I wasn't. But as of this morning, they are still looking for the 6, but don't look real good at this point. You know?
That's scary.
Yeah, right? You just never think that that's going to be a thing.
Driving across a bridge, just another day in your life, and then that happens. I can't imagine.
And, you know, kudos to the first responders and the police officers who were able to stop traffic to prevent any more casualties. But when you watch the video, I mean, it happens, and it happens fast. I mean, the second that cargo ship hits that bridge, the whole thing is in the water.
All right, let's get Sonya on here. She's a little bit nervous that her best friend is dating a dude that's being shady on Hinge. Hey, Sonya, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Okay, so I wasn't here yesterday, so just recap for me exactly what's going on with your best friend and this guy that she's dating.
Yeah, so my best friend, she's dating this guy. They've been dating a couple of months, and I don't like him. I don't like the way he treats her. I don't like how he acts. He's really weird around us, dismissive. He doesn't talk to us. He talks her out of stuff. He didn't let her go on the girls' trip with us. He didn't get her anything for her birthday. So I just personally do not like him. And somebody recently told me that he has an account on Hinge. I told my best friend, but she doesn't believe it. She thinks maybe, you know, somebody took his picture and created an account. I mean, he's good looking, but he ain't that good looking. So I think he's up to something, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But her friend's being pretty adamant. And it's like love is blind kind of deal, that you're not going to believe anything until you see it with your own eyes.
So the dude has a Hinge. Mm-hmm. And
you allegedly
has a Hinge. And you take it from here, Kristen, because it was your friend that did the dirty work.
Yes. All right. So, Sonia, you gave me his information. You sent a picture so we knew what he looked like. We had to enlist not one but 2 friends. Because if I'm anything, I am persistent. So I actually had to enlist 2 friends on this Hinge hustler. So friend number 1 opened Hinge and began searching, and she did find the target. She liked his profile and several of his prompts. However, he never responded to her. So either he's not interested, inactive, or after some digging, could have turned off the last active status in his profile settings, which would be smart to do if you're a garbage boyfriend and you're on a dating app and you have somebody else. So Abby was telling us that Hinge has the capability to, you can see if somebody's been active. Because maybe it's just been dormant, but there's like a green light that'll pop up to let you know that person's been on there.
Yeah. So turning it off seems like something that a garbage boyfriend would in fact do.
Yeah. So that one was unsuccessful, but that's when I decided to enlist friend number two. So we had a bit of a theory. Friend number one, who didn't get any response, is aesthetically similar to garbage boy's girlfriend. So I enlisted friend number two, who is not. She's like quite, I mean, all of them are attractive, but this one's just like the polar opposite, right? So friend number two opened Hinge, began searching. She too found the target. She liked his profile in several prompts, and he responded by liking her profile.
No.
Oh, man. So he is active. They began to engage in small talk in the DMs. Now, the conversation is almost inconsequential because being active on Hinge is the major infraction, period. But as far as the conversation goes, it was pretty generic and bland. He was pretty short and sweet with his responses, which kind of meshes with your description of his personality. He's just very quiet and dismissive whenever he's hanging out with you guys, right? She was the one that was pushing the envelope because obviously... Let's call a spade a spade. This is entrapment. So she asked him about going out Friday night. He said he has plans, but he would try to get out of them. So I was curious to know, do you know if he has plans with his girlfriend, if he has plans with you guys this Friday night?
They are going out. She did tell me they're supposed to be going out on Friday.
Okay. So this is where it is.
So if this dude tries to get out of that date, then we know what's up.
Then it's
smoking gun at that point.
100%. So, that is all the information we have. He said he's going to try to get out of whatever plans he had on Friday night, which is why I wanted to ask you, if you knew of anything. So now we have this information. Whether you want to act on it now is up to you, but I think it would be smart to sit on it a little longer and see if he actually does try to get out of the plans Friday.
Yeah,
and
that's going to be the telling sign right there.
Yeah.
So just hang tight until Friday, and then you've got concrete proof.
Absolutely.
But we're getting to the bottom of it, Sonia.
Building a case.
I knew it was something about him. I didn't like him.
I know.
I don't like him. So now I have to become a little detective. I'm gonna have to trail them on the date.
Well, let's see if he tries to break the date on Friday night, and if he does, you have yourself some concrete proof. But let's check back with you after that and see if he actually broke the date. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, Sonia. Thanks for hitting us up.
The Bird Show.
Let's get into the entertainment buzz.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Diddy's lawyers are responding to his home getting raided the other day. This whole thing is crazy. So they said Homeland Security investigation officials used what they're calling excessive force in a, quote, unprecedented ambush as they got through his L.A. and Miami homes trying to find evidence in his investigation. So the statement says, yesterday there was a gross overuse of military-level force as search warrants were executed at Mr. Combs's residence. There is no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. So if you didn't see, his children were handcuffed outside of his L.A. home. They're older kids. It wasn't like, you know, three-year-olds in handcuffs.
Although these Fisher-Price cuffs.
These little plastic ones. But they're basically just saying that, you know, he's innocent. We're going to work to clear his name, blah, 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 blah. No one's been arrested except for his alleged drug dealer at a Miami airport.
Yeah, right, that guy. So I'll say the same thing that everybody everybody else seems to be saying also, and it's kind of cliche, like the feds don't do that unless they've got a lot of evidence. They don't knock down your door. They don't go through your drawers unless they have a lot of evidence. This looks really bad.
That's what we were saying yesterday. It's like if they've been working on this for months, in order for them to get a search warrant of that magnitude, they have to have something in order to go in. And then the fact, I don't think it really looks good. Well, first, it makes me feel a little better the kids were at the L.A. home. Because Diddy was at his Miami, was in Miami.
So at least you don't got to watch your dad get cuffed?
No. I'm saying we were like, if Diddy's at the Miami airport, because he fled to Antigua, right? Like, that's where he is right now. So if you're at the Miami airport and your kids are at your Miami estate getting handcuffed and you don't go back to, like, get your kids or check on your kids, that is low. But his kids were in L.A., so he didn't have, like... Had he been in the same city as his children and he knew his kids were being detained and he didn't go back to that home, that's a different level of low. But that wasn't the case.
I still think it... I mean, with his money and his resources, he can get to anywhere his kids are.
I agree.
And I feel like he did not show up for his kids in that moment, but it just leads to all of these nasty allegations that have been surrounding him for so long. And to comment on how Homeland Security left his homes. I mean, at the time that they're using all this resources and money to come raid your homes, they're not going there when they were dusters. I don't know what you thought that was going to look like. A statement is not going to do it. He's in some deep stuff right now.
Yeah. I didn't know about the Antigua part. I didn't know that he flew to Antigua and that's where he is right now. But yeah, the dude has a private plane. If he wants to go to L.A. and be there for his kids, he would be there. But he's freaked out. Something's up.
100%.
Something is up. Well, speaking of criminal charges and celebs, Taylor Swift's dad, do you remember that photographer incident where he allegedly assaulted a paparazzi out in Australia? Well, turns out that he's not going to be charged. Australian police say that Scott Swift, Taylor Swift's dad, is not going to face charges due to that alleged altercation, which I think we pretty much all saw coming. It did seem like it was sort of like a little bit of fodder, like, oh, Taylor Swift's dad tried to beat me up when I was trying to take a photo. It's like, that is not what happened. I'm sure he got in her face and he got a little aggressive trying to protect his daughter, as he should.
Yeah, let's hit the lottery for paparazzi. When somebody goes after you, that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Now they get more money, they can sue you.
Yeah, now you have a headline when you didn't before because Taylor Swift was just living her life. Okay, would you be all right with being in a marriage knowing you would have to be in therapy with that person forever? So Sarah Evans is a country singer from like the early 2000s, and she got back together with her husband after she filed for divorce from him a couple of years ago. So she filed for divorce in 2021, and then in 2022, he was arrested for allegedly trying to ram his car into hers. And she says that they're back together, but says they're so happy now, but they will be in therapy until they die.
I wouldn't want to sign up for that arrangement.
Until they die. That is the direct quote. Be in therapy until we die.
It's interesting because actor Terry Crews said that he's kind of become famous for saying this, but he thinks his marriage is successful because they go to therapy when everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a constant thing for them. And I've always looked at therapy as something we got to do when we down. I don't want to have to go to therapy when everything is okay.
Maybe that's the key to it. I don't know. Maybe. I guess you got to work for what you got to do what works in your own marriage. But that sounds exhausting.
Well, the connotation of everything that's happening seems like, okay, you're going to have to be in therapy because of everything you went through. To me, with Terry just being like, oh, we're successful because we're in therapy, that's like preventative. That's just you having maintenance. But if your husband tries to come after you with your car, allegedly, and the fact that you're going to have to be in therapy because of it, to me, that's red flag.
Yeah, that's one of those relationships that sounds like a job.
Yeah. All right, well, people are shocked over ABC's newest pick for The Bachelorette. I'll tell you why the two front runners allegedly weren't chosen on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Now you're going to be at work and you're going to miss it. Dang it, because they rekindled their high school romance and then he ghosted her. She has no idea why. We do. We are going to tell her why. That's next hour. But if you have to get into work, you might miss that. Nah, you're not missing anything. You can always listen on demand anytime you want, any time of day. And we post The Burt Show in different segments. So you don't even have to listen to the whole show if you don't want to. Check out our podcast online at any platform that provides podcasts. All right, Mo, you're not even a New Yorker anymore. That's what your friends are saying.
It's a wrap. I had to turn my card in, and I'm not even going to fight it. I remember the moment it happened, and it hurt. So, yes, I'm from New York, born and raised in New York City, and anybody typically that's from New York we take a lot of pride in being a New Yorker. That's a thing. We pride ourselves on being tough, on being survivors, on being gritty, grinding it out, that kind of thing.
I was just there, what, 2 weeks ago? And I will say the same thing now that I've been saying about New York my entire life. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I can last for about 2 or 3 days in New York, but everything is a fight. Everything is a fight. Getting a hot dog, getting a taxi, everybody just trying to get in front of each other. Everything is a fight. I don't have that kind of fight in me.
Literally walking is a fight.
It's a fight. It's all a fight.
It's all a fight. And you can't complain about it at any point in time because that's not what New Yorkers do. We find a way, we get through it, and we get to it. That's what it takes to be a New Yorker. And so New York, we just do a lot of things differently, and you're supposed to just go along with it. And I guess I don't know if I've just been gone too long. I don't know if I'm getting older, but there's just a lot of things that we do as New Yorkers that don't make a lot of sense to me anymore. And my friends are all the same. They haven't changed at all. And so I go over the weekend. I'm there to really visit my grandmother, hopes that she will be feeling better. I'm there to make sure she's okay. I tell my friends I'm going to be in and out. I would love to see y'all, but this trip is really about my grandmother. So they're like, well, when are you going to be done with your grandmother? So I'm like, I don't know. I'm probably going to hang out with her until like the end of the night and then go ahead and head home. So they're like, no, you can't do that. We going out. This is perfect. You're here tonight. We're going out anyway. Let's get together. So I'm like, I told y'all, I got to go be with my grandmother. They're like, we're not going out until midnight. That was strike number one for me.
Whew.
Who goes out at midnight? Like, why is this a thing?
People who are young and don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So in New York, things don't close till 4 or 5 in the morning. Yeah. So going out at midnight is normal. That's like when you start your night.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I started referring to New York as the city that never sleeps. And it seems to have caught on because you can get whatever you want. You could party all night long there.
It's very true.
I made that up.
Nice. That's you?
Uh-huh.
It's accurate. Yeah. So I'm glad you gave it a name.
It's 2021.
See, the thing is, Bert, I like to sleep, man. And I get that the city don't, but I do. And so they forcing me to come out at midnight. I'm like, man, I don't do this anymore. So they're like, wow, you're not a New Yorker anymore. You sound like you're from somewhere else. And it all starts. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Y'all got me. Midnight, where are we meeting? I will meet y'all there. Let's do it. I'm going to turn up. I'm still a New Yorker. I still got it in me. So we get there. We go out. I'm basically yawning in this place. I'm falling asleep. They're having the times of their life, but whatever. We're turning up. I haven't seen my friends in a while. We're having fun. Then it starts raining. It's the end of the night. We ended up staying in this place until, at this point, it's probably 4:30 in the morning,
Ooh.
Right? I had to be the person. That's how I felt. Exactly with the sound you just let out. That's how I felt.
God, I used to love nights like that. There was nothing more intoxicating after being intoxicated than opening up like that bar or club door and there's the sun greeting you at sunrise. I feel like I lived life. Not anymore, man.
Not anymore. I feel judged. You see the ladies that are waiting on a bus to go to church, and you're stumbling in somewhere trying to get home. It's not for me anymore. And I realized it in that moment when I looked around, because, like, when I start to get tired, I'd look around to see if there's anybody I can duck out with. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Somebody else got to be tired, too. And it was no one. It's just me. Everybody else looks like the night is still starting. So I'm like, all right, I hold it out. I wait it out. End of the night comes. And now this is the part where I feel like I lost my New Yorker card, because when the night comes down to this, New York is the easiest place in the world to have transportation at 4 or 5 in the morning. Like anywhere else, you'd kind of be stuck. You got to take a cab if you're not driving. None of us are driving. We've all been drinking. So they're like, we're going to take the subway. Subway in New York, that's like the rite of passage as a New Yorker. You got to be a subway person. Now, I don't know if I still have this subway person in me. It just didn't make any sense to me to go get in the subway when we all could have just taken lifts and gone home, because that's the lifestyle I've become accustomed to.
From the outside looking in, those maps of the subway in New York look like an impossible maze to navigate unless you've been there your entire life.
And it's true. It is that way. Once you get it, you got it, but most of the time, wherever you are, typically you can't get on one train to take you from this stop to your stop. You got to get on one train, take that a couple stops, get on the next train, and then take that one a couple stops. And when it's that early in the morning, they're not coming every 5 minutes like they normally do. It could be 15 minutes. It could be 20 minutes. There's strangers down there. It's late at night. You're tired. There's a whole slew of reasons that I felt like the subway wasn't the way to go.
But rats the size of cats.
Yes, but which is where we're going. It's interesting you say that.
Really?
Right? Yes, because they convinced me to take the subway anyway. I say, cool, let's do it. because that's a part of the whole New York experience. It's after the night, everybody takes the subway together to make sure everybody gets home safe, and you're probably going to see entertainment on the way home, too. So we go down into the subway. It had been raining all night, so the subways are even flooded. There's puddles everywhere. It's not the nicest of places, but New York
smells great.
It smells horrible. But a New Yorker can say that about New York. We don't let anybody else say it, but I can be honest about it. It smelled horrible. We're sitting there. There's a bench, like, right behind us. It's me and three of my friends. The four of us are waiting for this train. In this moment, I see a rat come from out a puddle. I mean, it came from out the water like an orca. I've never seen a rat move like this. I didn't know rats could swim. This rat was the size of not even a small cat, a big cat. This rat was huge.
Like Subway Loch Ness.
Yes. I think it ate all the other rats. And it comes out the water. And for some reason, my friends swear it wasn't coming toward us. I don't know what they saw, but I saw it coming directly for us. So in that moment, when it started running towards us, I jumped on the little chair behind us.
That's
and
it.
The entire platform started laughing at me. Everybody. They didn't move. And they were like, dude, go get in the lift. And I did. I went upstairs. I got in the lift. I left my friends at the subway. It's official. Me and J-Lo are not New Yorkers anymore. I'll take it. It is what it is.
The Bird Show.
Before we get into my concern for Abby and her emotional porn problem.
My mom just turned off the radio.
She needs to turn it up. You need help, girl. We'll get into that in just a second.
Are we going to have an intervention?
It might be. I just have a theory that I want to run by.
Hey, hi. At a very special Bird Show, we're having an emotional porn intervention for Abby.
I'm just saying be open to it is all I'm saying, okay? You might have a problem.
I mean, I got nowhere to go. I got to be here.
All right, before we get into that, I saw this video the other day, man, and if this isn't the most typical exchange in marriage couples you will ever hear in your life. The most relatable thing I think I have seen on Instagram.
An accurate representation of marriage, and it goes like this. Hey, babe, we have plans at 2 on Saturday, 2 p.m. Saturday. We have plans to go to this birthday party. This is my husband. Okay, Saturday comes around. My husband. Hey, I'm going to go work on my pressure washer and go build a fire outside. Oh, okay, well, we have to get ready to leave. For what? For the birthday party I told you about at 2 p.m. on Saturday because it's 1:30. You never said that. Literally, I did. This is brand new information. I've literally never heard that come out of your mouth. I reminded you 65 times this week and I wrote it on our calendar. No. No, you didn't say anything.
It's the most relatable thing I've seen. How many times does it happen?
Well, I mean, for us, it goes both ways. And there are times... Like, I'm like, I could have swore I told you this. And he's like, no, I swear to you, you didn't. And then I actually have to check myself. And I'm like, maybe I thought about telling you and I actually didn't tell you.
What commercial is it now where they can actually stop your life and you could do replay on your life? Have you seen this commercial?
No.
And then they go back to the tape to see who was right and who was wrong?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, I wish that was.
Like a challenge flag.
I wish that was a challenge flag.
Save marriages or ruin marriages?
I think.
Yeah, that would help a lot.
All right, so Abby, hear me out here. I just have a theory on this based on one couple that I have heard of. But it makes sense to me. First, let me preface it by this. By let's say that I don't know what the statistic is, and maybe I am painting with a very broad brush here. But I think when it comes to porn online, when we're talking about sex and we're talking about porn.
You want to give the kid warning?
Too late. that, I don't know. I'm just going to throw a number out of my butt out there. 70% of porn addiction online are dudes.
Okay.
70?
Mm-hmm.
I'll roll.
We're visual creatures, so when we get in trouble online, you go from one video to the other. Most of the time, we take calls from women saying, my husband is addicted, and that's where it all starts. Okay, I'll give you that. So this is not my friend, but a friend of a friend of mine was telling me that her marriage is in trouble right now because she has overly engaged and is addicted to these romance novels that you keep talking about, the ogre ones, the fairy sex ones, and she has been going through one after the other, to where it has hurt her and her marriage. Not only the physical part of it also, because it is a romance novel, but she's so into it that this love affair that seems to go on with these characters time and time again, she has been experimenting with things in her real marriage and has now set the expectations higher, an unrealistic expectation for her husband over and over and over again as she reads these books.
You can't do that.
So what is the difference? So what is the difference between a dude being addicted to watching videos online where he's trying to bring that into the bedroom and a woman getting this emotional fantasy world and bringing it into her marriage also?
So in what way is she bringing it into her marriage? Like, she's expecting him to be what based off of these books that she's reading?
So again, this is not my friend. It's a friend of a friend. But the physical part of it, I haven't read one of these, so I'm leaning on you on this. But the physical stuff can get next level.
Graphic.
Mm-hmm. Very graphic and very next level.
What's the book that Cassie was talking about the other day that she said, like, she wouldn't recommend it to anybody else but you because it's such, there's so many intense trigger warnings.
Yes, it's a book called Haunting Adeline, and it's known throughout book talk as, like, this very triggering stalker romance to where there's, like, knife play in the bedroom, so things can get a little freaky. It's very much 50 Shades, but turn up the dial.
But there's also an emotional component to it also, where it's very romantic, it's over the top with romance, and it's not the real world. But she's been caught up in so many of these books that she's brought it into her life, and it's caused a lot of problems with her and her husband.
So I think both of them are similar in the sense that they inflate expectations for people. So there's actually a movie that touches on this called Don John. It stars Scarlett Johansson, who has, like, an affinity for rom-coms and wants her life to be like a rom-com. And then I can't remember what the actor's name is. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, his character is, like, obsessed with porn and wanting to have that kind of fantasy behind closed doors. And so I think both things can be true in the sense that both can inflate expectations for either sexes. But to me, like, the actual emotional part, I think can just sometimes be like an escape. Like, especially if you're a single person like me, like, it's nice to escape and have, like, something you can dive into. But to me, as long as it's not, like, unhealthy, which I guess for this person it is, it's, like, not a big deal.
Couldn't you say the same thing about dudes and porn?
But you could say that about anything. Like, think about food. Think about work. If you do too much of anything and it takes up all of your time and it starts to become an idol for your life, then it's unhealthy. But that doesn't make it inherently bad.
Moderation is key.
On both parts.
Why are you smirking like that?
I don't know. But I find it fascinating.
Natalia, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Well, I'm a professor at KSU, and I teach a class on gender that is called Love and Sex. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that I always ask my students is that, are romance novels porn? And the girls immediately say no, and the boys are like, well, and then what I do is I read one paragraph from 50 Shades of Grey, and as soon as I read it, they're like, oh, yeah, that's porn, you know, because you do imagine, and if you start imagining, if in this case she's doing that, you know, one romance novel after a romance, and you get a reaction of it, and that's what porn does, right? You get a reaction of it, well, from romance books, too. So, yes, they can be classified as porn.
Emotional porn, Abby.
Says a KSU professor.
Yes, and you may have a problem.
I have a very normal relationship with my smutty, funny porn fairy books, okay?
Yeah, what?
I have a very healthy relationship with them.
All I'm saying is chew on it that guys physically, like, with our eyes, that's what we got addicted to. Women emotionally do. It's the same thing if you're bringing it into your marriage, I think.
Same thing.
I think the difference is you don't always read to have a fun time with yourself. Sometimes you just want to read for enjoyment and escape. So I think it's a little different.
I do think intense. Because, like, no, like, most guys go to porn because they have... A guy watches porn for one reason.
There's an end game, whereas sometimes you're just listening because it's like... Tea. Okay, girl.
I know some men don't enjoy the plot.
Huh? Right. Can't you say women are going to fulfill a need and a hole in their relationship also emotionally?
No.
They're reading those books.
No, but like...
Not the physical part of it.
I'm talking about like physically... Okay, maybe.
Man, I want to debate you all the time.
Get it. The Burt Show.
So we got a DM from our listener, Melissa, on Instagram. She's at Life in the Soul. And she was letting us know that any of you guys that live up in Coweta County, they're the dogs, cats, animals up there need a lot of help right now. The Coweta County shelter is getting way overcrowded. They got like 135 dogs, 25 cats, and that's at about 101% capacity. And I think we all know what that means. Once that happens, you have to put out like this kill list on dogs and cats. No bueno.
I feel like this is kind of like an epidemic because there's several shelters throughout Atlanta that are just bursting at the seams right now.
I'm not sure if it has to do with the economy where you had pets before and now you can't afford them or whatever. But Hearts in Homes Rescue. If you're interested in adopting, you can stop by the shelter Monday through Saturday during regular business hours. Adoptions are just $25 and there's really not that large a commitment, you guys. Again, it's called Hearts in Homes Rescue. They provide all the food. They cover the expenses for the dog also. All you have to really do is agree to give the dog or cat a really loving home, and you have to show up through a couple of adoption events.
Well, so this is for fostering. So if you, like, yes, of course they're looking for people to adopt dogs, but if you are just willing to foster a dog to get them out of the shelter, to get it down to capacity so they don't have to do this kill list, that's when they're going to provide you with food and they're going to cover the expenses if you're going to foster. So if you're like me and you're busting at the seams with multiple dogs and you're not able to adopt, if you're able to foster right now, so you can't make the commitment of adoption, but you can foster, that could help get these animals off the kill list.
It's Hearts in Homes Rescue. All right, Jackson, is it rude to not invite your son's wife on a trip?
Do y'all think that when you get married that you are a package deal when it comes to getting invited to things for the majority of situations?
For the majority of situations, yes, and especially if it's family, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought as well. And so my uncle is planning on taking a trip down to Costa Rica where one of his daughters lives. Her and her husband, and he also has two other sons that live in the States and was going to plan a trip down there, right?
So they're like, let's make a family trip down to Costa Rica to see your sister.
Exactly. And so one of the sons is single and the other one is married, and he decided to kind of posit the question of going down there as like, oh, I would really like it if it was just kind of a family trip, as in his one other son that is married, your wife not invited.
She's family.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's your wife. That's family.
What's
that's
the
family.
Reasoning?
He wanted it to be a like core family event. And it when I heard this, it just didn't sit right with me because
she's core family.
She is core family. And then I'm thinking about it from her perspective and how like you'd feel so left out, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, isolated for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing if like he wanted to take his sons on like a guy's trip or something like that, but you're going to Costa Rica. That's not, you know, like, yes, that's your daughter. But it's also, that's her sister-in-law. And I do feel like they become a package deal.
I completely agree. And so when I was talking about this with like my parents, my mom was kind of on his side. Maybe it's because she's a little biased because it is her brother.
Yeah.
And I was kind of saying that, like, I think it would have been different. Let's say cousin from Costa Rica is coming to Georgia to visit us, right? And one night that we're there, my uncle's like, hey, I'd like to just take my kids out to dinner one night. And your husband, for example, is not invited to this part. That is better for me if it's like a single instance of something that's happening versus like this big trip that they're taking. It didn't feel right to me.
What do you think, Abby?
To me, I think especially like because they're married, it's not even like it's a girlfriend situation. This is absolutely core family, so they should be allowed to go.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's just throwing that term out there just to make it seem like his feelings are justified. I just get the sense that he just don't like this chick.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to understand. It's like, okay, even in saying core family is invited, cool, if we're going to run with that, but what exactly would be the harm in just inviting everyone who's, what he sees as an attachment to core family.
Yeah, right? And, like, okay, let's say hypothetically their relationship might have started a little more on the rocky side. I still feel like that's a point where you kind of swallow your pride and you're like, hey, you are very much invited to this just as much as everyone else because you are now family.
Okay, so it's one thing for the dad to make that request. So now the son is in a position. He either has to go back to his wife and be like, hey, dad invited me to Costa Rica, doesn't want you to go. Is he going to be like, all right, I'm going to Costa Rica with my family, or I refuse to go without you?
When he brought this, so I heard this phone call actually when I was hanging out with him, and then I brought this up to my parents later on. And so when he first said that, it's okay. Like, I'll pay for her to come down if it's like a money problem. Like, you know, it's totally okay. And then obviously his dad comes back to him and is like, it's not a money issue. It's just, I wanted it to just be my kids. But then I'm like, your daughter that's down there is also married. Are you going to not include him in everything that's there? Like, right. You have to be consistent if you're going to do it that way.
And he has to dig in on this and say, I can't go on the trip then.
Right.
Yeah, you got to protect home.
You got to protect
home.
I'm pretty sure he did. Okay, I think he drew the line and was like, yeah, this is
that.
You don't want to come back home after making the wrong decision on that one.
do you even tell your spouse that your dad made that request?
I think I'd try to bury that.
I wouldn't mention it. Wouldn't say a word about it.
Like, guess what, honey? We're all going to Costa Rica together and dad is so excited to hang out with you.
Yeah, it's gonna be fractured either way.
Yeah. Don't do it. Keep that to yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of minutes here. Let me ask you guys a superficial question, because this one's going around online the last couple of days here. Would you rather have a 100% chance of winning $1 million or a 75% chance at winning $100 billion?
Damn.
Which one do you do?
The 75% chance at $100 bill.
I feel like when I was younger, that would have been an easy one. I'm taking the 75%. But the older I get, the more I don't trust my luck.
Yeah.
I just really don't. And I don't want to have to live my life saying, what if I would have took the one? Give me the 100%. Give me the guarantee.
Murphy's Law, what can't go wrong will go wrong. I will be in the 25%. I'm taking that 100% chance of $1 million would change my life. Because I could still continue doing what I love. I could still do my podcast. I could still come into this job. I wouldn't have to uproot my life in Atlanta. But like, I could afford a house in this economy, which to me is already like winning the lottery.
I'm going big here, man. I'm going for the billion. The billion, right? All right, so here's how it rolled out on Reddit. 1,500 people answered. It was pretty close, actually. 48% would say they would go for the guaranteed money. 52% would risk it all for $100 billion.
That's crazy.
That's really close.
Yeah.
I just the thought of what happens if I don't win and now I have to live the rest of my life knowing I had $1 million in my pocket if I just would have taken it, that would scare me.
Can you live the rest of your life on $1 million? So I'm looking at the billion going, that's it. That's generational wealth. Me, my kids are taken care of, my grandkids.
Your great grandkids. Your great 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 grandkids.
All of them are going to be entitled little brats.
I just see that 25% of not winning.
For me, I would also be worried about the kind of person I would become after getting $100 billion. Like, is no one afraid of how money would change them that way?
Well, I've heard it said that money just makes you more of what you are, right? Yeah. So I think you're a fairly decent person.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay.
So I don't think you would change it. I wouldn't be worried about that.
I wouldn't be worried about it either.
And not even a little bit.
You could get the best therapist in the world if you turned into the big old a-hole. The best. It's The Bert Show.
Get it. The Bert Show.